You're listening to the Static Podcast on Static and Distortion.
I'm just going to start recording. It's going to be the beginning, and then I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to do an official introduction.
Wait, okay. What? I'm confused.
Just be quiet. Here we go.
Okay.
So, basically, no cigarette for Jason.
Disappear. You tell me not to call. You tell me not to call. And when the door is closed, you're wearing different clothes or hiding in the paper, pretending not to hear.
Welcome to the newest episode of the Static and Distortion Podcast. I am Robert.
I'm John.
I'm Jason.
Jason, right before we started, you asked if you could have a cigarette.
By all means.
Yeah, if you want to go grab a butt, go grab a butt, and then you can come back.
No, I'm good, man. Let's rock this.
Let's sure? rock this really gentle podcast.
This really gentle, folky, indie rock podcast?
This neo-folk...
Yeah, I thought he got up and walked away for a second.
Someone's got to rock.
I want to rock! Gentle E chord. Bring. Oh, I don't have my ukulele.
Then we slide it up to the E chord.
I got a ukulele right here.
All
right, you can or do a it, mandolin.
Fuck, you have a mandolin?
Oh, yeah, dude.
It sounds out of tune.
Fuck you.
Who cares?
I don't know. Yeah, this is the Static
Podcast. Wait, here we go.
There we go. A little bit better, yeah. Can you guys hear my open window? Is it, like, very distracting or no?
Not at all.
Okay, good. This is the Static Podcast. This is Jason's pick, I guess, technically, right?
Yeah, technically.
Technically, even though we didn't make a playlist.
Well, this is the plan, though. I figured since all of us listened to Suffgen for years, so we're just going to come and talk about this dude, and then whatever songs we hit on, I was going to go back through and make a playlist backwards, so when we post the podcast, there'll be a playlist with it for like the three people who aren't familiar with this artist.
So yeah, we'll get into the artist later. Okay, I've always heard it's pronounced Sufjan.
Yeah, that's correct, but I just like Suffgen.
Suffgen? Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Sufjan Stevens, a Midwest local artist who's gone big, made a name for himself. But yeah, before we get into that, we always have the bullshit portion of our show where we bash people. John?
Hey, everybody. It's time for the news. Fuck. That was your cue.
Fuck. All right. Take two. Ready? Wait, take two. Go.
Hey, everybody. It's time for the news.
There we go. Ooh, that was fancy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who wants to go first?
I have some Halloween dates and some news.
He just launches right into the fish news.
Good. Go with that.
Well, no. I got some Halloween dates first. String Cheese is playing Florida for their annual Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
We kind of talked on that a couple weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's working it.
Yeah, what's he do?
Well, he was a mechanical engineer for Motorola, but he quit his job. He's going to be, I believe, working VIP, driving the artists to and from their stages.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm really fucking stoked for him.
You're not going down there for it?
I wish, but as you made a promise to your wife, I've made a promise where I really can't do any festivals for the rest of the year or shows or anything, so.
Right. So, Dead, in company with John Mayer, who we've brought up 4 or 5 times, they're playing New York for Halloween. Humphries McGee is playing Milwaukee. Trey Anastasio is playing Vegas, Brooklyn Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's kind of music news. But the big news is Green Sky Bluegrass, one of my favorite bluegrass bands, is playing New Year's Day in Chicago.
But is that the big news? I thought the big news would have been the New Year's stint.
Yeah, that I was good. I was kind of, that was my fake out.
Oh, okay. Faked me out. Okay.
Yeah, the biggest news, obviously, is Phish announced their New Year's run at Madison Square Garden. It'll be like the 30th time they've played there.
But still, it's a 4-day stay over New Year's. That New Year's show probably has to be crazy.
Yeah, it's the biggest party of the Phish scene, of the whole, anyone who does concerts for New Year's, that's the concert to be at. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's big enough where the last couple New Year's, we've streamed it at friends' houses and thrown New Year's parties here where a bunch of us have watched it on TV. You know, I mean, so it's a pretty big deal in our universe. So right now, tickets are Lotto, so you can go onto the website and try to request to win tickets through Lotto. By win, I mean get the chance to buy them before they go on sale to the general public. Because once they hit it, scalpers will be charging $1,000 a ticket.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the big news. You know, the Mexico stuff happened last week. That sold out in 3 seconds. Phish will be playing in Mexico in January. And then there's rumors of a winter tour that might hit Chicago in February. So, probably not going to happen, but I'm going to hold my breath.
It's doubtful.
Very, very, very doubtful. So that's my news.
John?
This week in Taylor Swift, Ryan Adams released Bad Blood today, his cover. And we might even have a clip of that, don't we?
We do. I'm just going to jump right into it. This is Ryan Adams' Bad Blood. Here we go. You and I. 'Cause baby, now we got bad.
It's pretty good. It's, if you like Ryan Adams, you'll like it.
If you like Taylor Swift, you might hate it.
Coop hates it.
You know what the funny thing was? When I listened to that, I thought if Taylor Swift had put out a non-1989 Taylor Swift album where it was still kind of country-ish, more guitar driven.
This is what it sound like.
Yeah. But it still sounds like Ryan Adams too.
Yeah.
So the new album also was announced today. The entire cover album of 1989 will come out September 21st. Tuesday, right?
Yeah. Wait.
No, that's Monday, bro.
I thought albums were supposed to be coming out on Friday now.
I think albums can come out whenever they damn well please.
Well, didn't we have like a whole segment on albums now coming out Friday and it was a big deal?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, that's Monday. What the fuck?
He owns his own record label. He puts out his own stuff. He can put it out tomorrow if he wanted to.
Whatever. Ryan Adams.
I was excited for this album because I thought it was going to be a chance for me to finally get into Ryan Adams. I mean, we already know that I love Taylor Swift, but I listened to it.
We all love Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
We kind of do.
I was like, sweet, we're going to hear like grown-up versions of this kid music, and it just like didn't happen. I was like, okay.
I think it did.
You think it did? Well, I don't know. Maybe I fell further into the Ryan Adams catalog. But
I was just going to say that because as a Ryan Adams fan for the last 15 years and knowing his music, it was believably a Ryan Adams song, even though it was a Taylor Swift song to me. Kind of like when John Mayer covered that Beyonce song, that XO song, somehow he turned that into a John Mayer song. But still kept like the integrity of the Beyonce version intact while making it completely his own. Which,
when you said integrity, I like did you use air quotes around it?
I did. How'd you know?
I just had a feeling.
I don't like Beyonce.
Queen Bee?
Queen Bee.
I'm trying to find the fucking episode. Where? What episode number was it that we did Ryan and Adams?
Oh, John hooked me up with the playlist earlier, so I'm good. I'm going to listen to that all tomorrow, maybe.
Well, so we can let our listeners know. Blah, blah, blah.
That's right. You can listen to the podcast on iTunes or from the website.
staticanddistortion.wordpress.com.
You'll also go to your favorite podcast app. It'll pull in over there if you search for Static Distortion or Static Podcasts.
Where the fuck was that episode?
It was a long time ago, dude.
Well, I would like to let our customers, fucking customers, I'm in work mode still. I would like to let our customers know.
Well, while you're looking for that, I'll bring up my other piece of music news.
Do it.
Meow the Jewels.
Fuck, I was going to touch on Meow the Jewels. Fuck you, John.
It's coming out, right?
Oh my god, it's coming out. Well, okay. The first single came out today, which is, Oh My Darling, Don't Cry. And then, they're gonna release more information next week about when the whole album will come out. But here's the thing, so, John, you can finish your music news. I don't know if I'm stomping on it or not.
No, that was my segue to let you talk about Run the Jewels. Oh, okay.
Run the Jewels just played on the Colbert Show the other night.
With TV on the Radio as their backup band. Yeah, I love the way Colbert introduced them. He said, this next group is so cool and so hip, or something like that, that they actually have TV on the Radio as their backup band. I'm not finding Ryan Adams. I don't know where the fuck it was. We did a Ryan Adams show. Go back and look in our podcast and you can figure it out. There you go. Yeah, the first album came out, or the first song came out today. It was Oh My Darling, Don't Cry. And the whole idea behind this is they did a Kickstarter program and they raised some ungodly amount of money. Like, LP made a joke. It was like, who wants to hear a completely remixed, remastered album of Run the Jewels 2 just done with nothing but cat sounds? And everyone just collectively took out their wallets and threw it at their computers. And so they raised some ungodly amount of money, and they, I think, donated most of it to like humane shelters and stuff like that for animal rights or whatever the animal activist bullshit is. And so they got like guest producers to come on there and remix and remaster and sample and everything like that. So the first song was done by Just Blaze, actually. And it's like they recorded cat sounds and they found cat sounds, like, and they sampled it and everything like that. And it's really fucking good. It's surprisingly good. Let me see if I can actually pull it up.
I'm surprised it's not the top link on Reddit since it's about cats.
You'd be surprised. On our hip hop heads, it is.
Oh, well, that does not surprise me.
Yeah, on our hip hop heads, which I am a proud member of.
We should do a Tupac cast.
Oh, we'll get there. We haven't done nearly enough rap.
No.
Yeah, the Just Blaze remix of Meow the Jewels, and it's Oh My Darling, Don't Meow, actually. And here's a sample.
After a long night.
I'll skip ahead.
Fuck if you deny it, kids. You can all run naked backwards through a field of dicks. Fuck the world, don't ask me for shit, that's worth a big. I dreamt we own the world, but I've woken up and it don't exist. Soak it in and need no assist. Can't slap my wrist, I don't owe you shit. Trust me, I'm a doctor, do operate. I'm a post for ways a bit.
Tiptoe on the track like a ballerina. Ski mask in a Pontiac Catalina.
It's ridiculously good how they took cat noises and made it sound as good as it does. So here, I'll actually send
it. Does sound really good. I listened to it right before the cast.
Oh, you did? Okay, I was gonna say I'll send it to you guys, but I'll post anyway.
I'm already there. Oh, by the way, it took me about 3 seconds to find that it's episode 13 from September 24th of last year.
Where the fuck am I?
It's on the Static Podcast page. Remember we used to post them there?
No.
My favorite part of that Jules clip is when the cat's meowing.
That's a good part. That's key most of it. Remix. Yeah.
My other news, if I can segue because we're on rap and hip hop now. Have either of you heard of the rap group Blackalicious?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they got back together.
I'm excited about that immediately, yeah, with the mention of their name.
They got back together, and their new album is actually available for streaming right now.
Wait, that's available?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You can. I think it officially comes out next week or 2 weeks from now, but you can stream it. And
like SoundCloud or some shit?
Yeah, it's really fucking good, though. Like, it's amazing. Like, I didn't realize how much I missed them until I heard this video or heard this album.
They're so good.
Let me see if I can find this. Yeah, it's their first album in 10 years, Gift of Gab and XL. Let me post this, and we can put this on the blog as well. And put it in the chat there. But yeah, they're getting back together. They're putting out the first album of a planned trilogy, and then they're going to go on tour as well and to perform the album. So I'm like crazy looking forward to this. I love Nia. I love Blazing Arrow. They had a third album as well.
The Craft.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Which
is one of my favorites of theirs, but yeah.
I'm so looking forward to this, and I highly recommend everyone go out there and listen to it. I will post this on, it's from the, you can actually get on the XXL magazine website, but I'll post it onto the blog. You can go there, listen to the whole thing, start to finish, and it's fucking fantastic.
Sweet.
So yeah.
That was good. That's good news.
That's great news, dude.
That's the first time we've had music news that I wasn't aware of before it was like talked about.
Me too. Like, I knew they got back together because I follow Gift of Gab on Facebook.
Okay.
I knew that. I knew something was kind of going on, but I really haven't been paying attention. I didn't realize the album was done and they were streaming it and stuff. So
yeah,
like, I'd almost count that like breaking music news.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. Anytime a band gets back together or you start hearing about like a band is working on an album, for example, like Radiohead is in the studio working on an album, or Blackalicious, obviously, or whoever's in the, you know, Tool should have an album come out later this year. I get more excited because I'm like, that means they're going to tour and I can see them live.
Yeah.
That's
have you guys seen the
about.
Video of Mark McGrath flipping out on a teenager who calls him Sugar Ray?
No.
No.
That seems like some of the bullshit he would do, though.
It's on YouTube, dude. All of you people who are listening to this, just hit pause, go to YouTube, and type in Mark McGrath flips out on a teenager who calls him Sugar Ray.
Did you see the video of the dude from Smash Mouth? Like, Smash Mouth is performing at some, like, bread festival. I don't know where, some small town. And they gave out free loaves of bread to all the attendees. And so the attendees are taking chunks of bread and throwing them at Smash Mouth. And he, like, freaks out and starts yelling at the crowd to stop throwing bread. And they don't, like, they don't, obviously, because no one respects Smash Mouth.
Well, it's not even just no one respects Smash Mouth. That's the worst thing you can fucking do is, like, react. Don't do that. Okay.
And so, like, he jumps off the stage and tries to fight a dude, and then he just leaves after, like,
four
songs.
Wait, in the middle of the set?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of awesome. I'm going to look that up, too.
I didn't sign up for this when I became Smash Mouth.
I saw a picture. Someone put the guy from Smash Mouth next to the Guy Fieri, and he's like, no one has seen these two people in the same place at the same time. Coincidence?
I get this brings up another thing. I listen to Pandora a lot at work, and I just throw it on because I don't have to think. It just plays music for me. And I had their 90s alternative station on, and they kept playing Smash Mouth and Sugar Ray. I'm like, I don't think you understand what the definition of 90s alternative
is. That even like, 90s? Isn't that like early 2000s?
It's like late 90s.
Oh. No, not even late 90s. Like,
I'm pretty sure that's
Sugar
like
Ray
2000,
Fly.
2001.
No, I'm pretty sure Walking on the Sun was like 96, 97.
That was 96, and like Sugar Ray Fly was 96, 97.
Yeah. And the,
I remember
the,
well.
The funny thing is, if you listen to both Sugar Ray and Smash Mouth's first albums, they're like not heavy, but they're like actual rock albums or punk albums. Like they actually tried to make music.
And then they did, you know, I'm a Believer covers and All Star and all those crappy songs.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Crappy songs now, but I bet you were tapping your foot and belting it out in your Ford Fiesta back in the day.
It was
Why
a Ford
gotta be a Ford Fiesta?
I have nothing against Ford Fiesta, but it seems like a car that 1997 John Schenberger would be driving. Don't you agree?
No, I drove a Ford Tempo back then.
No, Toyota Corolla.
Ah, yeah. Too. Maybe a Honda Civic.
A Civic.
I had a Civic also.
And it wasn't a Civic hatchback. It was a four-door.
It was.
From like 1987.
No, not that old. It was a 99.
But I had a cassette
You were
player.
Driving a 99 in 96? That's fucking no. baller.
I'm just listing out cars I've had now. The timeline is a little fuzzy. No, a 90,
that's
a
fucking baller.
That's like some Beyonce money right there.
I was driving a 1991 Ford Tempo that had hail damage and had been rear-ended.
What was your first cars?
That's like, you know, tomato, tomato.
Yeah. What was your first cars?
My Ford Tempo.
Your Mine Ford was Tempo. 85 Monte Carlo.
I had a 1990 Pontiac Grand Am that when I first got it, didn't go in reverse.
My Monte Carlo didn't go in reverse. I had to Fred Flintstone it out the door.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And it didn't have a radio. I had a boombox in the front seat.
Fuck yes. Yes. Until I got the radio installed, it was boombox or just silence.
Right. It was just the sound of bong hits from the back seat.
Did your sun visors flop when you hit a flop down when you hit bumps and stuff?
No, that's
Dude,
fucking horrible.
The whole roof hung down. Like I had to staple it to the ceiling.
My car rattled, not because of like it was falling apart, but I used to work at Einstein Bagels, and every time I would leave, like at night, I would always steal as many bagels as I could and as many IBC root beers as I could, and I wouldn't throw anything away, so it was just boxes of empty bagels and like empty root beer bottles just all over the back seat of my car.
Back there.
You get pulled over by a cop and he wants to search your car. You're like, go right the fuck ahead.
I swear it's all root beer.
He takes one look and he's like, just go home, fucker.
You're like the avatar for the slob god. Just get out of here.
When I worked at CVS for a little bit, and there was this dude we called Captain Burgers because his car was filled to the window line with Burger King and Wendy's wrappers.
Did you just call him the Captain for short?
Yeah, the Cap. And he had no idea why.
All right, Captain.
He probably thought you were just like, you know, all right, Chief, all right, Captain, you know.
But he had a cool Zelda wallet that he used, you know, it was Velcro.
A cool wallet does not make you an interesting person, okay?
No. The fact that his car was filled with 5,000
that makes you interesting.
That
it
made
probably
him a little...
smelled like crap. Like, well, just nasty old burgers and... Ugh.
Burger farts. Mm-hmm.
Burger, mm-hmm. Some french fried taters.
I bet you he listened to some good music.
Like what?
Zeppelin.
Seals and Croft?
Tomb Raider soundtrack.
Dude, this is epic. I forgot who I was talking to. A friend of mine, I think I went to like college with him, but he's like, I listen to soundtracks mainly because I feel like it narrates my day. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I was listening to the Predator soundtrack and I was trying to catch the train and I was like running and the music matched my motions. And I was like, you need to stop right there because no, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
If that was me, it would be fucking Stewie with a tuba.
Just playing the baby elephant walk.
Right. I bet you any money, though, Captain Burgers listened to, like, the Mask soundtrack.
What was it? Fucking Cuban Pete, right?
Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend, like, in the time we briefly dated, listened to the Tomb Raider soundtrack nonstop every time we went anywhere. It was either that or System of a Down's Toxicity album. Those were her two CDs she had in her Mercury Sable.
Mercury Sable. I just read an article today about the movie Hackers. It's turning 20 this year, and they actually talked to like the people who made the movie, and then they talked about like the people in the hacking community, and they're all actually pretty positive about the movie. They're like, yeah, it got a lot of the things about the spirit of hacking correct, but the clothing was stupid and the whole futuristic cyberpunk thing, that was just fucking ridiculous. We all just wore black shirts and black pants and stuff like that. But the one thing that was like universally acclaimed was the soundtrack. When it came out, like the the movie studio was like, we're not going to put this out. This is like all unknown electronic bullshit. No one knows any of these bands or anything like that. So they got this small English record label to put it out. The response was so overwhelming to it that they actually had to do a volume 2 and a volume 3. And when you go back and look at these bands, it's like Prodigy and Massive Attack and Aphex Twin and all these like great early emerging electronic artists that like paved the way for current electronic artists. So it's just crazy, like, going back and looking at this soundtrack and be like, wow, this is, like, fucking 20 years ahead of its time of what people are trying to do now. That's, like,
Trainspotting, right?
Fucking pre-Trainspotting, yeah. Like, Trainspotting was, like, 97, I think.
Wow.
Let's see here.
The More You Know.
I love that movie, by the way. Oh, Trainspotting was 96.
Damn, son, we're old.
We're fucking old, dude. Pulp Fiction came out 21 years ago. I was 10 when that movie came out.
That's a shitty soundtrack. A lot of people like the Deep Throat.
Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I don't like it.
Me neither. Why not?
I don't know.
Let's see here.
Wait, I love the movie.
No, but specifically the soundtrack. Let me pull it up here. It has Urge Overkill on it. I mean, it has that fucking... what's the big song from it? The main opening song.
That one song.
Yeah, what the fuck is Dick? Is it Dick Dale or something like that?
It's that Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a bad soundtrack.
It's just a C chord on the ukulele over and over again.
It has Let's Stay Together by Al Green. There's Jungle Boogie by Kool & the Gang. Son of a Preacher Man. That's a fucking fantastic song from Dusty Springfield. Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon, which was played by Urge Overkill, but kind of got overplayed. Flowers in the Wall by the Statler Brothers. Let's see what else here.
Surf Rider,
Lively Ones.
Zed's Dead.
That's the name of an electronic act now.
Yeah, that is an electronic act now.
So, but what's the name of that fucking opening song? It's from Dick Dale, I want to say.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, Miserloo, that's what it was. If I remember, the story behind Miserloo is someone bet him he couldn't write a whole song that only used one string on the guitar.
So that's a really dumb bet. All the notes are on that one string.
Exactly.
Every note you need. None of the notes you don't.
So, Sufjan. Okay.
Sufjan Stevens.
That sounds like a lot of fucking music to get through the last.
It was a lot of music.
Okay, let alone he had a fucking 5-disc Christmas album. What the fuck? Like, I think only Chris Glass likes Christmas that much. Okay,
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think Sufjan likes it more.
A little bit more. I think that's because Chris is Jewish and Sufjan's Christian, and there might be a whole religious thing there. But I know, Chris Cross really loves Christmas, too.
I thought you said Chris Cross really likes Christmas.
Chris Cross?
Yeah. Chris Cross is going to make you jingle.
All the way. That was
bad. Man, that was fucking terrible.
Oh, shit. Oh,
that was... No.
I'm going to put myself in timeout. Bye.
I can't believe it's been 10 years since the Illinois album. That's kind of where I jumped in on Sufjan.
Same here.
What was your first Sufjan experience?
The Illinois album. Someone recommended to me in college. They're like, hey, there's this dude who's doing the now quote-unquote bullshit 50 State Project. They're like, oh yeah, there's this album called Come On Fill the Illinois, and it was just the Illinois album. You should really check it out. And I had just moved to Illinois, so I was like, yeah, you know, State Pride. And I listened to it, and it was really fucking good.
The Henny Buggy Band. My first song I heard of his was, I think it's on, is that on, oh wait, that's on The Avalanche. Hold on, I'm on the wrong one. It's, crap. I just said it in the chat earlier today. Concerning the UFO sighting in Highland, Illinois. Yeah. And that, I'd never heard a song like that before.
That's the opening song on that CD, right?
I believe
so.
Yes, it is.
Let me pull up Suvian Sound.
It is.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Like the time signature in that song and just everything about it was so opposite of what I was listening to at the time. And I was listening to some indie stuff, of course, but this
of
was...
Of course, John. What else would you be listening to?
Seriously. I mean, I was even worse 10 years ago. I was the worst 10 years ago. But I really just... blew me away because it was so different, and that's what got me into that. And then I ended up working backwards into, you know, Seven Swans and, you know, Enjoy Your Rabbit and all the good stuff.
Wow, what I enjoyed about Sufjan is Suf shit.
Kid Kudai.
Kid Kudai.
Anyways, you know what I like? It's like everything is so simple yet really complex at the same time.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is like the way the songs, the music of the songs are set up is very much like Talking Heads. Now, it doesn't sound anything like Talking Heads, obviously, but the same way David Byrne has the different instruments playing like triplets or just three notes over and over again and then layering them on top and interweaving them. He does it. Sufjan does it a little bit more complex, but I mean, it gets so many things going on in these songs where you can find a layer and just click on that and just follow that layer, that little bell that keeps dinging on every third downbeat or something like that. And that just kind of blows your mind every once in a while.
I would have never put that together, but it makes total sense. I would have never referenced Talking Heads on that.
See, right. The thing
that's
is,
that's a good point.
For the exact same reason that, you know, what Jason just said is reasons why I don't like certain Sufjan albums. For example, his first one, whatever the fuck it was called, A Sun Came. And even his last one, Carrion Lowell, Lowell, whatever his name is. It's weird because they're so stripped down. And while they're very complex and they're very folky and everything like that, they're so minimalist and... not only lyrically driven with just the guitar, banjo, mandolin kind of accompaniment. I almost found myself bored at times because listening to Enjoy Your Rabbit and listening to The Age of Ads and his electronic stuff and like even Michigan and Illinois, there's so much diversity and dynamics and this layering that goes on that when he really strips down and tries to go for this more reaching to your heartstrings and lyrically driven stuff, I find myself pulling away from it because I know he could do more and I almost want to hear more than what he's given me.
I disagree for one reason, and that one reason is Kazmir Pulaski Day.
Yeah. That's a good reason. That's bad.
Okay, let's put it on.
Yeah, do it.
Let me go back here. This is Kazmir Pulaski Day from the album Illinois.
Goldenrod and the 4-H stone, the things I brought you when I found out you had cancer off the bone. Your father cried on the telephone, and he drove his car into the Navy Yard just to prove that he was sorry. In the morning,
we obviously don't have time to play the whole 6-minute long song, but I mean, even then, okay, let me step back here. I said I found it boring. Maybe that was the wrong choice of words. I found myself wanting more. I wanted more layering, more dynamics, more something from certain of his albums than others.
I don't think it always needs that. The opposite of when we were talking about Derek Webb a couple weeks ago, when I'm like, you know, the song's safe. It's pretty, but it's not pretty enough for me to be this safe. I feel the opposite about everything that Sufjan does. I'm like, this is exactly the beauty and the right amount of elegance for these ballads, or however you want to call them, or these folky tunes.
Yeah.
You
know? And I think off the new one, Carrie and Lowell, the song No Shade in the Shadow of the Cross, that one just it just destroys me when I listen to it, because it is so minimalist. And kind of going back to what Robert was saying, it's so lo-fi. Literally, you can hear the air conditioner in the room running.
I think he recorded it in a hotel room on his iPhone.
I did find Carrie and Lowell kind of boring.
Well, no, I agree with that, because the whole album is that. But like that song specifically, especially when he's talked about kind of what it means and where he was with this album, where he was kind of realizing he had kind of gone off the rails a little bit. You know, that song to me is almost, it's just devastatingly beautiful. It's one of my favorite songs of the year.
I definitely agree. But when you mentioned that song from that album, it just clicked. I'm like, wait, one of my notes was to say that I was surprised that how kind of meh I was about this new album. That's all this critically acclaimed stuff. But it was just background noise while I was working. It never made me stop and pause, except for that song that you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and the rest of it's good. If you listen to it in isolation, each song in isolation, it's really freaking good. But again, that whole thing, you put it all together in an album and it's not dynamic enough to, you know, like you said, that's exactly what I did. I put on at work and I just kept working, and nothing caught my ear.
So I mean, it's pretty well established at this point that I'm more of a music over lyrics kind of guy. I take it the music in first than whatever's being said. So going back to what I originally said about the music, you know, I want it more. I will say that the lyrics, especially on Carrie and Lowell, I found myself paying attention to more than most of his other work. And most of a lot of the work that we've ever covered, just because I guess the imagery and the actual the lyrics and the words he's using, it strikes such a resonance within a person that it just can't help but pull your ear to the music. And I guess, you know, with the minimalist nature that he's going with the lo-fi guitar, banjo, mandolin, just one person playing an instrument, obviously he wants the lyrics to shine. And I found that happening, especially with, you know, his first and last album, and there was another one in there, the Seven Swans album. His actual imagery and his lyrical content really does shine through, and I guess it goes back to me just wanting to hear more of the music, which is why I guess I'm drawn to like Age of Ads and Michigan and Illinois and Enjoy Your Rabbit, because it just has more of that, what I want to hear personally. So
what's funny about that is like the Age of Ads, I thought that was utterly unlistenable.
I remember when that came out, and you and I talked about that, Jason. We were both like, what? Wait, huh? I can't listen to this.
And today, I was hoping, because my music taste has changed a lot since that CD came out. I'm like, well, it's been 5 or 6 years, maybe. I just didn't get it then. So I was kind of excited to get to it and rediscover it. And then I was just like, oh, shit, I can't do this. I kept on skipping songs.
Yeah. That's one that I never go back to. For as much as I love his other music, that just doesn't hit me at all.
But it just more hits me in the fact that there's some study that was recently done or whatever it is, that music composed specifically for video games, orchestral music and, you know, that boss battle music and everything like that, it's made to keep a person engaged and aware of their surroundings while not interfering directly with the story or with the actions or whatever you're doing in the video game. And I guess I relate Age of Ads to that, because it kept me engaged, it kept me intrigued and wanting to hear more, but it didn't specifically interrupt or overwrite or take my attention away from whatever I was doing at the time.
Sure. So, what do you guys think about BQE? Because I personally think it's two or three of the tracks on there are some of the most beautiful music that's ever been recorded. It is something, it's blatantly something that you would find on a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
I'll give critics that, you know, people want to shit on it, whatever. But the way the tracks are listed, they're too goofy to list which ones I really liked. But I believe it's number 3, 4, and then 3 of the second part. I'll post it all on the playlist. But there are some really, talking about layering and making it real intricate soundscapes, that for me, that album, it's not one that you can just throw on and be like, listen to this, but for having it as background music while you're doing other shit, tops.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually didn't get a chance to listen to BQ all the way through. I think I listened to like 5 or 10 seconds, maybe 15 of each song. And the reasoning behind that is, I understand it's a Sufjan album, and it's music that he made, but it was made with an explicit reason of being for a movie soundtrack, and right. So I put it to the bottom of my list, not because I wanted to skip it, but just because I had all this other music to listen to that yeah. was music that he wanted to put out and send his own message with, so I just really didn't get a chance to get to BQE.
Sure.
I don't really listen to that one much. But it is interesting. But you have to be in the right kind of mood to enjoy that kind of music. I actually like one of my favorite albums of his was the Avalanche album. The outtakes from the Illinois album and everything. And the song the Avalanche is one of my favorites. Henny Buggy Band song.
Oh yeah, I saw you just listening to that actually.
Yeah, and that's like it's this song where I remember the first time I listened to Henny Buggy Band, it's like you're almost like overwhelmed with sound, because it's like, what style is this song? It's like four styles. It's just everything put together.
And especially like on his first album, and it pops up periodically, especially on like Michigan and Illinois. But more so that first album, he really does. It's not, I can't consider it experimenting. He doesn't experiment with song styles and song signatures, because experimenting would mean that you do it once and then you're like, okay, we're done, or you do an album for it and then you're done. No, like, he has these thematic song styles that just continually pop up or like kind of poke their heads in different songs and different musical pieces that he writes, where he can play, everyone knows him as like an indie artist or a folk artist, and then secondary to that, he's an electronic artist because he's made specifically electronic albums, but he's also made like, he's put Baroque music into his, or Baroque stylings into his music, and he's put like Scottish Highland styles into his music, and then Middle Eastern, and then he's somehow incorporated certain song styles and put them into different parts of his music throughout his whole career. It's really interesting. It's not experimenting. He just seems masterful at it.
Yeah.
So I asked a buddy of mine who actually kind of shepherded me towards Sufjan early, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, and he's seen him a handful of times. I was supposed to go with him to Madison a few years ago to see him, but I snoozed. So I'm like, dude, we're doing a Sufjan podcast. Give me some thoughts about him, because I know that, you know, at least back in the day, you're a huge fan. And he wrote me back. He said, honestly, something that turns me off about most modern artists is that all their songs are about personal relationships. Like, as much as I like Hozier's voice, I get real tired of the subject matter. I love Sufjan can get beyond that. You know, I admire his ambition in some of the albums. I don't think he'll ever reach, you know, the 50 states goal, which, newsflash, he said he's never going to do that.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, the balls to just try, just writing a song about a state and not only making it relevant, but making it a great album, you know, that's insane. And I took that, and when I was listening through the playlist, we went through The Sun and The Rabbit, and then you get to Michigan,
yes.
And it's like a whole new world yes. of music just opens up.
Yeah, okay, so Michigan, granted, I came in at Illinois, and I wasn't familiar with the Michigan album until well after Illinois, but that's the album that made him. That's the album that made him put him on the map as a songwriter, as a musical, I don't know, like the way he just composes his songs. They're just fucking fantastic, and they're lush and beautiful and diverse and amazing.
And I wanted more of that on the Cary and Lowell.
Yeah,
but I feel like, and I agree with you, down
that
he
was
wants
missing
to relate.
In that new album. That was certainly missing in the new album. Because there's that song, I don't know if it's on Michigan or Illinois, but The Predatory Wasp.
That is on Michigan.
I think that's on Michigan.
Oh, man, I love that song so much. You know, like, I was looking for that Sufjan with this new CD, and it just never hit it, right?
Yeah, I don't think that the new CD, that was the point of the new CD.
No, that's
though.
On Illinois,
just like, just like Age of Ads wasn't meant to do that either.
Right, I understand that, but I come in with my own preconceived notions of what I want to hear.
Well, sure,
but
sure.
That's exactly what I said, because like, I want the more dynamic Sufjan, and I understand with Carrie Lowell, he's trying to do a stripped-down, personal, heartfelt album, and it's great lyrically, but the music, I wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted lush and diverse and complex.
But when I think back at some of the older albums and the songs I really like from it, I mean, I appreciate these crazy orchestral, wacky, you know, compositions that just are mind blowing. But then some of the songs I like best is like from Michigan, Flint, the first song on Michigan. That song, I can't, if I hear the first notes, I can't not listen to the whole thing. You
Should
know,
we put that on?
Yeah, throw on Flint.
All right, this is Flint from the album Michigan. While this is playing, I thought of something. We're all arguing over what type of Sufjan we want to hear, or what we expect, or what we want, or what we think he sounds like, and everything like that. I think that's actually an amazing thing that you could talk about one artist and he's touched on dynamic versus minimalist, lush versus simple, and lush and complex versus simple and broken down, and heartfelt versus detached, and everything like that. An artist who, a single artist, not a band, but a single artist who can play everything and give you what you want, and how we each have an own album that we're like, that's the album I want to hear, and they're not the same albums. But then when we talk about each other's albums, we're like, well, that's still a good album.
Yeah. Well, here's what I was thinking. Instead of doing just picking songs, I mean, we should maybe do pick songs from the podcast that we're talking about and do a playlist. But I think it would be interesting to see, sometimes Chris Glass and I like to do, where we have an artist we both like, and we'll do a challenge, make a 20 song playlist, and let's see how close we are.
That's way too much.
Why don't we do this though? Since there's three of us,
yeah.
Why don't we each pick our favorite top five songs?
I could do that.
Yeah,
and then put that on the playlist. And then if there's any repeats, we'll supplement them with other songs.
Okay, I could do that.
I was just thinking do three separate playlists: John's list, Robert's list, Jason's list.
That's way too much work.
That's probably even way better. Are we recording, or are they listening to the song?
No, we're recording right now. They're listening to our behind-the-scenes production of how we do this podcast.
Gotcha.
Yay. Fourth wall.
Talking about, like, weird stuff. Or not weird stuff, but at the end of Michigan, first of all, I love Vito's ordination song. It's one of my favorite ones. But right before that is this little kind of interlude. It's only 2 minutes and 2 seconds long. Redford for Yaya and Papu.
Okay.
Someone needs to throw that on SoundCloud and loop it so it never ends for like an hour. It's one of the most beautiful transitional songs. I just love it. I listen to it all the time. Whenever I make playlists, even if there's no other Sufjan on the list, I'll go and find that and put that in between the different songs just because I listen to the shit out of that song.
An hour of Redford just for a coop.
Yeah, just someone who's technically proficient more than I am, just loop that up on SoundCloud so I can just listen to it over and over again without having to press, repeat.
I heard Robert's good at production.
Fuck you.
But no, you know what the funny thing is though, Jason, now that you mentioned that that's one of your favorites, and I don't know, when you share some of your SoundCloud stuff that you put up,
yeah,
a lot of it reminds me of that. not exactly the same, but
right.
Kind of, I don't know, it's capturing, I like to call it like headspace, you know, where if that were a song, you're thinking while you're listening to it. You're not listening to lyrics, you're reacting and you're having an emotional response. And that's kind of what, when you share your music, that's my experience.
It reminds me of Elliott Smith, "Everything Means Nothing to Me." It's nowhere near the same, but it's that same kind of, it's just a short little thing that just takes you into another headspace while you're listening to it. You nailed it. Headspace.
Randy calls that headphone music. Headphone music. It's the kind of music you can't just put on in a car or put on outside. Like, you have to put your headphones on it. It's just, it's for you to experience and enjoy.
Yeah, I listen to that in the car, though. So, just really loud, and I just feel it.
We're approaching, we're about like 50 minutes. Did you guys have some final thoughts about Sufjan? Sufjan's Divins?
What I liked about picking this podcast was I hadn't really been listening to him at all lately. I gave the Carrie and Lowell sound or CD a listen when it first came out and thought it was nice. But like having to go back and listen to the whole back catalog the last 2 days was just such a nice treat. I really enjoyed it.
We didn't even talk about his Christmas stuff.
Yeah, I skipped all the Christmas shit. Because I have heard it before. I just didn't need to hear fucking Christmas. And pretty soon you're going to walk into a fucking CVS and they're going to be singing Deck the Halls. That's like only a week or two away, you know.
And then I'm going to want to punch everybody that I see. I hate Christmas music.
So we don't need that shit now on a podcast. Anyways, I digress. It was just really nice. It's a treat. If anyone has happened to listen to this and isn't a fan or hasn't listened to him in the past, go back, listen to Illinois, Michigan, or Avalanche. Those would be my three picks to get started.
Starter pack.
Yep, real quick, starter pack. Has 10 total Christmas albums.
And those Christmas albums are like 3 CDs each.
Well, no, that's what I mean. Yeah. He has 2 albums, 5 discs, 5 discs each, so 10 total.
5 discs?
Discs. Fuck. Shut up. I give up.
How many Dinosaur Juniors?
I'm giving it a 6.
6? That's low.
7. Well, I'm trying to rein it in. Because we've been giving some 10s away. Like, Dave Matthews got 10 last week. So
wait.
I want to set a new fucking standard here. You know, where, like, the Dinosaur Juniors actually mean something.
No, they've never meant anything.
So, 7, because let's say out of 10 albums, I don't like the All Delighted People, Age of Aziz, and some of the Rabbits shit is unlistenable. So he's getting a 7, which is very, very high on my scale.
I was going to go with an 8.
I'd actually go with like a 7, too.
All right.
Christmas.
Sweet. What are you guys listening to this week besides Sufjan?
I've been listening to Little Dicky. Either one of you heard Little Dicky?
This is like,
I can't say that I have.
I don't know it.
So the story of Little Dicky, he went to some college in Pennsylvania, graduated, got a job doing copywriting for some local television station or something like that, or some ad company. And as a joke, he started rapping and he turned out to be pretty good at it. And so he started putting out like comedic rap songs and it turned out that he was better than expected. And he quit his job and he actually put out an album and it has like Snoop Dogg on it and fucking all these new rappers and stuff like that. And it sold really well and he's actually pretty damn funny. So I've been listening to that lately. It's pretty good.
That's good.
Neither one of you have anything to comment about that.
Everyone else, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Because I just lost you for like 15 seconds there. I hope, you know.
I just blacked out.
Yeah. Little Dicky doesn't want you talking about his shit, yo.
I'm look, it's not breaking fucking barriers or not breaking ground or anything like that, but at the same time, it's more listenable than a lot of the fucking rap bullshit that's coming out now. Like, I would rather listen to this than most of Chicago drill music and most of the fucking bullshit rap that comes out of the South. Like, this is actually pretty damn good compared to that, so.
Speaking of rap, I actually decided to give Kendrick Lamar's new album another try, so.
Did you not like it?
No.
I should fucking slap you.
Well, most people say that.
He still doesn't listen to
Action
Bronson, dude. Give him a break.
Yeah. In my opinion, that is going to be the best album of the year, and people will look back about like on that album in about 3 to 4 years and be like, that's probably one of the best albums of the last 10 years.
I get that now. I did not get that before. And I don't know if it's just the mood I was in the day, because I was excited about it. I like, you know, Good Kid, Mad City.
This is not Good Kid, Mad City.
Not even close.
Nope.
But it was what got me was how much a dollar cost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, okay, I get this album now. I don't know why it took till that song, but I get it now. So that's
that
what
is
I've been
not an
to.
Album that you can listen to a single from, and then it's like, oh, that's a good album. No, you have to put right. it from the start and listen to it in one consecutive listening all the way to the end.
Yeah,
and that's when the album makes sense.
I agree. So I revised my previous statement. Actually, Dave made me listen to it again. He just shamed me into listening to it again.
Thank you, so. Dave. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else I've been listening to. The Wiggles.
I haven't been listening to anything new. I got a newer car last month, so I've had XM Sirius. So I've just been listening to the Jam On station and the Grateful Dead channel.
You should listen to the comedy station.
Well, oh, no, the comedy station is kind of terrible. What I have been listening to is the Opie station.
Yeah.
I like the Opie and Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I don't like Jim Norton for some reason. He just never did it for me. Excuse me.
I drive a 2002 minivan, and I have a tape adapter for, you know, my phone. So I don't have fancy stuff.
Yeah, but that minivan's like a Toyota or something like hipster, right?
It is a Toyota.
Oh, I meant to tell you, Coop, I listened to the new Master Sounds. Really
and?
Fucking good.
Yeah.
Really good. I put that on when I was giving my kid a bath, and I found myself jamming out to it. There were certain songs that I was like, this is a bit too soft rock for me. What was the last one?
A bit too Dave Matthews Band for you.
No, I want you to stay featuring Kim Dawson.
The new master sound is straight funk. There's no Dave Matthews about it.
No, there's no Dave Matthews. But the song I Want You to Stay featuring Kim Dawson, I found myself saying this is actually not as good as it would have been because of Kim Dawson. I would rather just listen to the music than
right.
have the singing over it.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
This
album
like
just came out.
What's that?
So new Master Sounds. Oh wait, there's a single that's out. Do they have a new? What's their?
The last album came out in 2014.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what he said, yo.
Also, I did an article about them way back when the blog first started. But Garfunkel and Oates just had a new album come out, and it's really good.
Oh, I love them.
They're adorable, and they're amazing, and they're so funny.
I love the anal sex song. What is it? The
Loophole.
Loophole, yeah.
Fuck me in the ass because I love Jesus. They're great. I love them. So, yeah. The name of their new album is called Secretions. Go check it out.
Awesome. I'm going to check that out as soon as we're done, actually.
I'm trying to think of what else. Anybody else been listening to anything?
No, man. I'm still on the John Misty kick.
Yeah. That's strange. You've been listening to a lot of them, dude.
Yeah.
Father John Misty? That's not a bad thing.
No. It's not a bad thing. This is just 4 straight weeks of him bringing that band up.
That's pretty much what's happening, though.
But in all fairness, if I really told you what I was listening to all week, I would just be like, yeah, I listen to Fish.
I listen to Fish.
Right.
And then some more Fish.
Right, exactly.
I have a whole list of songs I need to get to on Reddit that I still haven't pulled up yet. I go through our music and find songs there.
So I'm thinking about doing a maybe semi-weekly, bi-monthly thing on the blog where called Altered States, where I'm going to post like 5 or 10 songs that are good to listen to when you're not in the right state of mind.
There you go.
All right.
And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because I got like – I told a buddy about my idea for that, and he's been like sending me all these fucking links. So I'm like 15 songs deep, and I need to get listening.
I'm trying to think of the first album I would recommend for that.
Well, I like Do Make Say Think.
Thank you.
We did a Do Make Say Think show.
I made them listen to that.
You did?
Yes, awesome. I did. I did a Do Make Say Think show. Because I was like, this is the shit, and you guys should listen to this. Coop, you get me. Where have you fucking been?
I know.
I told you guys. I told both of you independently before you ever met that you guys were alternate universe each other. Even the beards.
I trim mine up now, and sometimes I'll find a beard hair on the sink, and I'll wonder if it's a pube or a beard hair. So I play. It's like a new game, pube or beard hair. But since I never put my dick on the counter, I'm pretty sure 9 times out of 10
it's a beard hair. But there's always that one chance,
right? So it's not like I'm flossing my teeth with it.
Oh God. I think that's the point where we go out of this podcast with don't floss with random curly brown hairs.
Man, I got 2 kids just trying to save a buck.
All right, final thoughts. Anybody want to wrap up and do anything? Oh, whose pick is in it for next week?
I think it's back to me. Or no.
It's one of you two.
It's me.
No, it's Robert. It's Robert.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Here comes TotoCast.
Sweet.
All right.
We're not doing Toto. I love Toto, but we're not doing Toto. It'd be 30 minutes of us talking about Rosanna.
Africa. One of my favorite stories of Tom Hutch, who has appeared on the show before, we were at the Patch where Tom and Chris lived, and there was a big party going on, and Tom wanted to play Africa on the music that was playing, and everybody talked him out of it, and he was a little disappointed.
You were at a party and they talked you out of Africa?
Yeah.
Man, that's a terrible party.
I know. I would have played it.
But so then a couple months later, I had a barbecue at my house, and most of the same guys were over there. And by 3 a.m., we were all just drunk sitting in my living room, and I'm like, Hutch! And I had Spotify out, and I threw on Africa, and he and I pretty much sang the whole song in front of a room of people.
His name's Tom?
Tom.
Tom, if you listen to this podcast, you can come over to my house and get drunk with me and listen to Africa as much as you fucking want. In fact, I will make it a point to play it every 5 songs.
He lives in D.C. now.
Well, fuck, dude. Fly out here. I'll play some Toto.
Hey, does that invitation extend to me?
Because no.
I do that.
For you, we'll only play Rosanna.
Fuck, but I want Africa. I will hold the line. And Georgie Porgy, please. I know way more Toto than a person should know.
Do a Toto cast.
We should do a Toto cast.
We're not doing a Toto cast.
Not next week, but like eventually.
When we run out of other things.
We'll do Toto.
Right after we do Beyonce, we'll do Toto.
No.
I gotta think of a fucking artist for next week now.
Well, you don't have to think about it now.
We could just wrap up the show right now, and then you can think later.
You know I'm gonna end with the song or the show with Africa by Toto.
You can't. Dude, doesn't it have to be Sufjan? I'm fucking with you. Play it. Tom's listening. This one goes out to you, Tom.
This one goes out to you, Hutch. All right. For the Static Podcast, I'm Robert.
I'm John.
I'm Jason.
And this is Toto. Good night, everyone. We'll be right back.
I don't care if we're ending the show. I'm going to sing it with it.
I hear the drums echo in the night. She has only whispers.
Anybody else?
Sounds like a yam jam. She's coming in
1230
flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation.
You can find the Static Podcast on the iTunes Music Store or at staticanddistortion.wordpress.com. Like us on Facebook at Static and Distortion, and follow us on Twitter at Static Distort.